Hey mom, does this sound familiar? You encourage your daughter to read her Bible and she says something like,
Mom, I don't get it.
It's so boring.
I don't have time, Mom. We get it. Sometimes getting her to love God's word seems impossible.
That's exactly why we created the True Girl Pop-Up Party Weekend for you.
It's a whole weekend designed to break through those barriers. Friday night kicks it off with worship and a Bible teaching to put you in the driver's seat of the conversation.
Saturday morning, you'll dive into God's Word together in a mom-daughter workshop, and she'll learn the 4Z method of Bible study created for girls her age.
It's fun and it's faith building. You'll worship together, you'll learn together, and mom, you'll leave ready to build her faith like never before.
I'm Dana Gresh.
And I'm Shani McKenzie. And we want to hang with you.
We're coming to California, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. We'd love to see you at the True Girl Pop-Up Party. Hey, friend, I want you to know this podcast is produced by Pure Freedom. That's the umbrella organization, the 501c3 of True Girl and Born to Be Brave. And I got to tell you, it's only possible thanks to the generosity of our Freedom Partners. That's what we call friends of the ministry who give monthly and who pray for us. Friends like Tabitha, Courtney, and Anne. Yes, I know your names because we pray for you too. I want to ask, if you're not a Freedom Partner, would you consider becoming a Pure Freedom, True Girl, Born to Be Brave, Freedom Partner? This month, we have a special way to say thank you if you join us. We'll send you the world's most amazing 40-ounce stainless steel Freedom Partner water tumbler. That's a mouthful. Every time you sip, I'm hoping you'll be reminded to pray for our mission to plant biblical truth into the next generation. We're going to add a link in the show notes to our Freedom Partners page.
Welcome to the True Girl Momcast, where we'll learn a lot, laugh a little, and have biblical conversation about raising daughters because motherhood is hard. But guess what? You are not alone. I'm Shani McKenzie, and I'll be joined by my friend Dana Gresh.
Hey, ever throw a meatloaf at your husband in front of the kids? No, just me?
I think maybe. Okay, well, I think this is going somewhere, but yes. we're gonna keep it real.
Yeah.
Keeping your cool in the chaos of motherhood, it's not easy.
No, it is
true
not.
True enough, yeah. But Dana, meatloaf?
Yes, I'll explain. Let me do the open, Shani. Today, Shani is unpacking how to model emotional regulation in a way that helps your child feel safe, secure, and empowered.
That's it right there. And unafraid of meatloaf.
Yes, of course, not afraid
really
of meatloaf. I'm going to tell you, just a minute. Let's do the open. This is no self-help hype we are doling out today. It's gospel power. Today, we'll tap into God's grace to love and serve like Christ. Because calm is contagious, Mom. And when you lock into self-control, so will your kids. First up today, Shani's scripture snack. Shani girl, take it away.
All right. Now, Dana, you do have to tell us about this meatloaf moment. You can't, leave us hanging out there.
So I had been out touring with True Girl, and I was exhausted. I came home tired. My kids were, I don't know, maybe like middle school and elementary school. Mm-hmm. And does your husband feed your children unusual things when you're gone? Like breakfast cereal for dinner?
I have to say, Ephraim's, he's a cook. He likes to cook.
Oh, see, I don't get that. No. Two of my daughters got that. I did not get that.
Aww.
So he had been feeding them breakfast cereal, and the house was not like it was.
Okay.
Yes, you could use that word.
Okay.
I should not publicly use that word, but you said it. And so I thought, you know what? It was also that time of the month, and I was just like out of my mind. I knew I wasn't in my right mind.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know what I need. I need meatloaf stuffed with cheese, wrapped in bacon, laden with barbecue sauce.
That's the best type of meatloaf.
I made myself that. Of course, their family, they needed some food too. So I thought, well, they can. So blueberry muffins, mashed potatoes. Like I made it up big. I thought I can handle this disarray, this life, this laundry sitting behind me. The Mount Everest laundry that piled up while I was gone. I don't know how many times they changed, but.
So, like cereal in the clothes.
Shani, I had the table just set. Yeah. Everybody had their steaming meatloaf stuffed with cheese. Did I mention it was wrapped in bacon?
I did.
And I was ready to take my first bite when Bob mentioned the laundry. And I bless his heart. Bless his yes. he loves me heart.
Yeah.
He just said, hey, I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot of laundry. And I flipped. And by flipped, I mean like actually hit the table. When I went to hit the table, I don't remember throwing meatloaf at my husband, but there was a meatloaf spiral headed towards his face. And I gotta tell you, the worst part is that I missed.
Oh. Okay, wait a second now. Hold on. This is a waste of meatloaf as well. I'm concerned. Where did it go?
Over his shoulder. And I got to say, I was so ashamed. I ran to the bathroom where I was not going to come out the rest of the night. Bob Gresh came in and he put his hand out as if he was going to ask me to dance. Yeah. I mean, it was like something out of a movie.
Yeah.
And he put his hand towards me and he said, baby, this can be one of our kids' worst memories or one of the funniest they've ever. And he took me out. He put me in my chair. He pushed me into my seat like I was a lady or something. Aww. And then did this stand-up comedy routine. And it's one of the funniest memories.
That sounds very Bob. That's awesome.
But yeah, there was a meatloaf moment in our marriage.
You know, I'm actually sure, Dana, many of us have meatloaf moments. Maybe not with the whole meatloaf, but a proverbial meatloaf moment. There is an article from 2016. Mm-hmm. It's a global strategist named Matt Norman, and he coined this acronym that I actually love, and it's IDBYD. Mm. I did because you did.
Oh.
I was like, oh. And he had been on a beautiful vacation with his family, you know, spending time and in those close quarters, the hotel rooms and the friends' homes. And, you know, that tends to exacerbate things, right? It puts the magnifying glass on things that might already be there. And and occasionally it brought out the not so best in him and in his family. And so, you know, hot buttons were triggered, tempers flared, and he coined this term. And he realized that when he was in this space, he was not being intentional. He was not being thoughtful, and he was letting these things trigger him. And so he'd do something, and then his kids would follow suit.
Yes.
Or maybe he and his wife would, you know, like get into it. Or his kids would just be getting into it. Psychologists and counselors, they would say a person showing this, they're not being mindful. They're being, you know, less considerate. But most of all, they're not present and enjoying the moment. And that resonated. It resonated so much. And I do wonder, Mom, if this sounds familiar. Mm. And if it does, we're not going to talk about any shame here. We're not doing that. This is not what we are doing, okay? Fear not. We're talking about these things that many of us face, and it is about emotional regulation. And there is so much. There's so many things that as moms we experience that try to stress us and you know, we are called to be the influencers in our homes, but you know, sometimes it's not easy to set that tone, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, I think I want to snap right now myself.
Yeah. And that's contagious too.
Yeah.
Snapping is contagious.
And
calm is contagious.
Calm is contagious. Right. So if you've ever found yourself snapping at your child, if you've ever felt overwhelmed, or if you're struggling to keep your cool, and it might be right now in this season, you know, maybe the age your children are, you're not alone. Parenting, especially during the tween years and the teen years, it's filled with those moments that test our patience. Sometimes you feel like you're being punked. Hmm? But here's the good news, because there's good news.
Do tell.
We do not have to do this in our own strength.
Amen.
So, Dana, can you read our key verse?
Yes. So this is Proverbs 15:1 today. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. And that should be like literally, that is a mantra for Dan. It has to be, because otherwise tempers do flare and there's meatloaf.
Yeah, yeah. That meatloaf. We're going to talk so much about this later, I tell you. But Dana, so we know Proverbs was written, at least mostly, by King Solomon. And we know that he wrote these as life instructions. But it wasn't just for the masses, right? Of course, he, you know, wrote it for people, but for his own household. Solomon was like, listen, children, I need you to live by these words. And I would like to think that he was modeling them as well. You know, he had a double portion of wisdom. So, and in this verse, Solomon's in essence saying, wisdom and self-control go hand in hand.
Now, I feel like we might be able to end the podcast right there, but
yeah.
They go hand in hand. And as moms, we do set the tone in our homes. We are called to do that. And our kids are looking to us for emotional cues, how we handle frustration, how we handle disappointment, what it looks like when we're stressed. It teaches them how to handle those things in their own lives. But have you ever noticed that when you're stressed or when you're overwhelmed, your child follows suit?
Yeah.
They'll start acting out too. And that's because our kids take their regulation cues from us. And if we react with frustration, they learn to do the same, just like you're saying. Calm is contagious.
Yep. True.
And so is stress. So, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And if we remain calm and grounded, they'll mirror that too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, great, Shani. That's all well and good. But how? Like, what's the how? So I want to first say, admittedly, I didn't do that so well, especially when my girls were little.
Mm.
Judah wasn't born yet. Sarai was probably a toddler. Carice was early elementary. And I've always worked outside of the home. So this is moms, whether you're working inside the home, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether, you know, you work outside of the home, this applies across the board. During this particular season, I was commuting to D.C., losing about 2 hours of my day. And by the time I got home, I felt like I didn't have much to give. And my girls, they didn't receive mommy's patience. So, sidebar, we are just a loud family. Like, I come from a loud family. We're West Indian.
I would like
it's a West Indian culture.
At one of those family dinners.
Oh, it's amazing. Our family table is so amazing. But my in-laws, they're not as loud. So it's like just watching them sit there at the table. But it's like we're not yelling at each other. It's just how we speak. So the yelling and screaming wasn't really a response thing or an approach of choice. Like, I wasn't necessarily like yelling and screaming at my children. Mine would be impatience and like always in disciplinary mode. Because for me, it felt like, okay, I have to feel like I'm contributing something. So let me provide some structure, you know, because I'm not here most of the day. So it'd be, no, don't do that. Oh, we got to go. We got to go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And sometimes I'd actually see the disappointment in their little faces. Or I'd watch them play with their friends or dolls. And then I'd hear them say the same things. So they would be wagging their fingers at their dolls or like rushing their friends to do what they wanted to do. And honestly, you know, that hurt my heart. I'd swing the pendulum the other way. And now I'm parenting out of guilt and I'm parenting out of shame. I had to come to terms with the truth.
Yeah.
I was upset that I was missing time with the girls. And in turn, that made me feel like a bad mom. So now I'm emotion driven.
Yeah.
Moms. Is any of this resonating with you? Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of moms, we're blindsided. We find ourselves becoming dysregulated or triggered. And there is actually a beautiful podcast called Momwell. They've been talking about dysregulation and emotional dysregulation. But there's more than emotional dysregulation. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But things like our day-to-day pressures, our lack of support systems, constant demand to be present, can make it incredibly difficult for mothers to maintain that emotional equilibrium. And also, motherhood has a way of bringing up these past struggles, things from our childhood, unresolved traumas. And this is in no way me saying, well, you know, because these things happen, you know, like, I mean, we of course are going to perpetuate that. No, we have the opportunity to break some generational things, things maybe our moms and dads did, and, you know, not as a fault to them, but hey, we're going to do it differently, you know? And so for me, I had to really deal with those feelings of inadequacy as a parent. Mm. I realized I had to ask God what it is I have to do. And I began to meditate. I began to meditate on scriptures like Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Now, it's not our key verse today because Paul was specifically speaking to fathers because they are the leaders of their homes. But my old pastor used to say, "The man is the head and the woman is the neck." And I was like, oh, okay, I like that. Because the responsibility to cast a vision for the family, that's on the father.
Yeah.
But the main executor of that vision is us. We set the tone. I mean, we know it. We set the tone. And that's not to say everything our children do, that falls on us. You know, like, oh, if your child is acting up. But for me, there was a period of time that it was like, oh, everything they do is a reflection on me. Mm. And I believe wholeheartedly that God just allowed that to continue to be tested until I was like, okay. It's not, okay, let me get that pride out of the way here. But the Bible teaches us that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5, 22 to 23. That means, mom, the good news, we don't have to figure it all out on our own. Yeah. The Holy Spirit, he is our help. I am so grateful for the Holy Spirit, Dana.
Me too.
He helps us to pause. He helps us to breathe. He helps us to respond instead of react. And I think sometimes we minimize the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Like the fruit of the Spirit being developed in us is the only way we can exhibit these things from the right place.
Yeah.
You know, like all of us can do like a kind of self-help. I need to do these breathing
methods. You could white knuckle your way through it, but eventually you're going to turn into Mount Vesuvius at full eruption.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like it
because
just
it's gonna
gets
come out.
Bottled up.
It's going to, as long as you're pushing it down or ignoring it, it's going to come out somehow. There are about five things that you might see as indicators. So feeling inadequate as a parent, right? You start to doubt abilities, lose confidence. If you're setting a bad example, you know, for the children, they might fear that. These are things that you have fear of, right? You think, okay, I'm not adequate. I'm setting a bad example. I'm repeating negative parent patterns from childhood. You might wonder if you're falling into those cycles, right? Not being able to learn regulation skills. Maybe you're like, this is not mm-hmm. me. I can't retain this. Or you feel like you're causing lasting harm. My husband and I used to say all the time, we used to tell our kids, listen, I know you might end up lying on somebody's couch one day, just talking about all the things. Yes. And that's, counseling is fine. You know, we're
it's
not
okay
going
to
get it right
that,
all the
right.
time. And
that's
it's okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But knowing that, you know, that's all right. That's fine. But not parenting out of trying to keep your children from having issues.
Yep.
Your children can have issues. They're not going to agree with the things that you say sometimes. They're not going to, you know, like what you do sometimes. They're going to rebel sometimes. But I believe that if we allow the Holy Spirit and invite him into the moments where we're feeling like this or our child is acting like that, I think that God shifts our perspective. He shifts now what we parent out of and where we parent from. And that is the goal, like parenting out of the Holy Spirit's leading.
Yeah.
That's always the goal, right? Pausing and praying, as simple as it might seem.
Yeah, no.
And I feel like for any podcast episode we do, pausing and praying is like the number one for everything. When you're in the moment, your child is running around the house and you said, hey, I need you to cut it out.
Yep.
You said it calmly three times. And this fourth time, it's going to be Mount Vesuvius. Like, are you wrong for feeling upset? Absolutely not. Like the Bible says, you know, like we are going to get angry.
Yeah.
But
be
it says in your anger, sin not.
Right.
Right. And so in everything, we still have to point back to the word, whether it's with people, you know, like who aren't family. Mm-hmm. But especially with our children, like it has to start at home. You know, I think sometimes we kind of separate our children out from that. You know, like, no, they have to. There's things the Bible says will happen if we don't conduct ourselves in a way that don't incite anger in our children. So you pause and you pray.
You pause and pray. Number one.
Don't speak. Don't react. Take breath and invite the Holy Spirit into the moment.
Lord, help. Just Lord, help.
Help is a prayer. Help is a prayer.
It's a whole prayer.
Dana, help me respond with grace or just help. And sometimes I had to say it through gritted teeth. I admit it. Lord. Oh, Lord, children, I need you to stop. Yeah, like help. That's one. And two, and this is so big. Moms, I need you to hear this. Speak life.
Mm-hmm.
Speak life.
Yeah, so good.
That gentle answer that deflects anger. That's life-giving, because if there is a continual yelling and, you know, your child, one, is not going to feel like you're approachable. And this is just the reality of the situation. Once again, I am not trying to throw shame or shade on anyone, but I do want you to see this. If this is something that you're dealing with, A gentle answer is what deflects the anger. Because when we get to the point where our child won't come to us, you know, this is, you know, like this is the fruit mm-hmm. of us creating a situation sometimes. And so raising your voice, making sure you can lower that. Yeah. Because sometimes you come out the gate. Let's be real. You might not have done step one and it comes out.
Yep.
But being able to say, okay, let me bring my voice back down. And it models to your child that you can respond with kindness, even when you're frustrated. I have two teenage girls.
Yes, you do. They're gorgeous.
Thank you.
They're teenagers.
They are. And I don't look at them every day and say, oh, you're gorgeous and you're teenagers. I mean, they're different challenges. I love my girls. They are amazing girls. But they're different now than they were when they were 2 and 5.
Yeah.
They're 13 and 16, and they're coming into their womanhood. And they're, you know, like pressing into their relationship with God. And they're testing waters, you know. And all of us have that time.
That meatloaf time of the month.
Oh, my goodness. And what's funny with that, Dana, actually, nothing really happens with my emotions. It's just never been a thing for me. I don't love that time, but it just doesn't happen. But with both of them, I was like, oh, okay, well, thanks, Lord. This is interesting. I'm watching them learn how to regulate.
Because
they sense it coming.
Yep.
Yes. And we've had days when the emotions run high. We've had days when they run higher than others. But we also know that things like that time of the month don't give us
permission
to
sin. That's right. They don't give you permission to sin. There's nothing that writes a permission slip for us to be unkind to another human being.
Yep.
I mean, if we're going to start doing that, then we have to start looking at our husbands and our sons and say, well, you know what? He had a bad day at work,
right.
So he gets to come home and say that. No, that's not how it works.
Brother's about to go through puberty, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my oldest the other day, actually it was just yesterday, not even the other day, she was like, I said, hey, how you doing? She was like, why'd you ask me like that? And I was like, oh, I was like, She was like, it's that time. I said, okay, all right. So, I wasn't asking you any
great
type of
regulation
way.
Like her even saying, it's like admitting
it. She's
you know,
getting
some
it.
Girls, if you say, is it that time? Those are fighting words.
But listen, it's not always like that. Like, and then sometimes she'll say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and excuse myself and go to my bedroom because I feel this and I don't want to snap.
Yeah,
I don't want to snap at my brother.
That's good regulation.
And I'm like, you know what? That's cool, kid. That's good. And we don't want any situations. So I think those are things. And when you see that, encourage that, you know, because it's important.
So one is pause and pray.
Pause and pray. Speak life.
And then
last but not least, teach through transparency.
Oh, break it down.
Oh, goodness. When you do lose your temper, because you will, okay? You know what? Maybe, Mom, you're listening and that's not your thing. So I'll say a lot of us will. Some people don't lose their tempers and they keep cool. God bless you. But I'm just going to say for 99.999% of us, if you lose your temper, be quick to apologize.
Yeah.
And show your child what humility looks like. I'm sorry I snapped. Let's try this again. I recently got upset with my oldest daughter because she asked to be excused from the table to finish her homework. Now, this was totally not a her thing. This was me. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I realized that she graduates next year and we won't have the dinner table anymore with her. And just that quick, I was like, no, we need to eat as a family and talk. And now eventually I did let her go.
You know, what
my
you did
like,
in that moment, I think
right?
is something we do a lot,
oh
which
gosh.
Is we mask our pain with reactivity and anger.
Yes.
Because reactivity and anger is a lot less painful.
Yeah.
Than the sadness and the grief.
Right. And Dana, like, that's not a good redirection.
Yeah,
that's like like you said, a masking. And I let her go, but I went to her room later and I apologized and I let her know I reacted and that wasn't cool. And I was just missing her before she was gone. So now I just like send her texts. I'm like, hey, can we homeschool for college? You know? But it's like, you know, it became like a sweet moment and we can joke about it, but I was like, I had to check my emotions.
Yes.
And I was like, Lord, what is that? And I literally said out loud, Lord, what is that? Hmm. That's it. Lord, what is going on?
It's all about checking in with him, isn't it?
Yes.
So with him. That last one, go back to number one, pause and pray.
Pause and pray. Oh, Lord. Pause and pray. Yeah. And then we're going to speak life.
Yep.
And then we're going to teach through transparency. Mom, mm-hmm. These steps are not about being perfect.
Oh, so good. So true.
I just want us to drill that in. It's not about being perfect. It is about being Spirit-led. The more we rely on the Holy Spirit, And
there you go with that tapping on the table again. Ah! Shani, no, we're keeping that in the show. We edit her out all the time. She does that all the time.
I do.
And we're keeping it because you were say it again.
It's about being Spirit-led.
There you
go. We rely on the Holy Spirit.
Okay, I will edit the other ones out for you, but you needed that one.
Okay, thank you for bringing me back. The more we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us regulate our emotions, the more peace. Don't we love that? Peace we can bring into our homes. Peace is not everybody just sitting there being quiet all day long and not having personalities.
No.
That's not what peace is. Sometimes that's peace when there's quiet, but peace is it's something that starts on the inside. It's the calm that passes understanding. That's what God calls peace. Like when anxiety is running high or anxiety is trying to rule your home, peace. We can speak peace into the situation and help demonstrate that. So this week, when you feel those emotions rising, Mom, pause. Pause and ask the Holy Spirit for help. Even if you don't get it right every time, you're still modeling what it looks like to surrender your emotions to God. And most of all, we want you to know you are not alone on this journey.
Shani girl, that was some good, solid truth that I needed for my own heart today.
Yeah.
That whole just relying on the Holy Spirit, pausing and praying. We are creating the atmosphere in our home. So very much of it relies on mom being emotionally regulated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your daughter is not emotionally regulated, it may be because you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not for sure.
Right, right.
But it's always good to ask.
It is.
Is she modeling what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. You know, what really spoke to me, though, is that lately I've been having a lot of sadness, a lot of grief just from a lot of circumstances in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been reacting in my home with anger because it's safer for me, or I think it is. But you know what? It's not safer for everyone around me.
Right.
And so I need to just say, okay, I need to be like Carice and say, I'm going to my bedroom.
I'm going to go to my room for a little bit.
I'm going to my room for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to check in with Jesus there. Good stuff. Does the Bible really change tweens? That's the title of our next episode. A reporter recently asked me, is there any evidence that the Bible actually makes a difference in the lives of kids? And I could not wait to answer. The research is clear. When kids engage with Scripture, it transforms them. And I want to invite you back for the next episode of the True Girl Momcast, where we'll unpack this question together.
Calling all moms, become a True Girl subscriber right now. This is your last chance to do it, to be able to get the Be Kind box. This month, we're helping your girl learn that God's kindness is something she can show every day. And this box is packed with fun reminders to help her spread his love. Plus, I want to personally invite you to join me, Dana, Stacy Rudolph, Casey Brown, and the rest of our team for an up-close and personal mom-daughter weekend, the True Girl Pop-Up Party. We'll spend an unforgettable time connecting with your daughter and specifically strengthening her love for God's Word. We're coming to 4 locations across the country, okay? So Pennsylvania, Texas, California, and Wisconsin for a one-of-a-kind event designed just for moms and daughters ages 7 to 12. Friday night, you'll experience live worship, powerful Bible teaching, and connection time with your girl. Saturday morning features a hands-on workshop using the True Girl 4Z method of Bible study, a tool that will strengthen your daughter's ability to handle God's Word accurately. Plus, if you join us in Pennsylvania, you'll have the option to wrap up the weekend with a special afternoon at Dana Gresh's farm. Dana, tell us about that optional animal.
Oh, I am so excited. I love welcoming True Girls and their moms to the farm. They get to hang out with the animals.
Mm-hmm.
They get to meet my fainting goats, my little herd of fainting goats. My Carlette Lee is my sheep, my little black sheep. There's
a
black sheep on the farm, my little fat donkey, the peacock. They always love seeing the peacock, the horse.
Mm-hmm.
But the big thing is we're going to study Romans 1:20. which says that we can see God's character and his power through creation. So it's not just like a petting zoo, although it will be that. We're going to have a delicious country farm dinner. We're going to end the night with a campfire and prayer and sharing. And I really want them to come. I really want you to come.
Come out.
Yes.
Come out now.
Space is limited.
Yes. So get your tickets, mytruegirl.com. Can't wait to see you there.